This is the son of PCJ.
Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Paulette McQuarrie and Keith Perron.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome again to another edition of the program. Coming up today, what is the future of the former Radio Netherlands relay station in Madagascar? Radio Netherlands, which suffered a huge budget cut last year, has left shortwave. But the Madagascar relay will remain on the air, but this time as a private company. Jeff White will be speaking to the station's manager. Recently, Kim Andrew Elliott from The Voice of America launched a new program called VOA Radiogram. Now, I know some of you are thinking, what is a radiogram? Others are saying, I know what that is. Well, you have to be if you're of a certain age. But this form of old technology is getting a new shot at life, and we'll tell you more. This is Media Network Plus sending up smoke signals. Not white, not black, but a totally new color. Before we continue with the rest of today's program, here's Paulette McQuarrie, who's just returned from a nice break. Paulette?
Nearly two-thirds of the Broadcasting Board of Governors Language Services, which are offices that produce content for particular languages and regions, overlap with another BBG service by providing programs to the same countries in the same languages. In a recent report, GAO, the U.S. Government Accountability Office, identified 23 instances of overlap involving 43 of BBG's 69 services. For example, in 8 instances involving 16 services, a Voice of America service and a Radio Free Asia service overlapped. Almost all overlapping services also broadcast on the same platform, that is, radio or television. BBG officials noted that some overlap may be helpful in providing news from various sources in countries of strategic interest to the United States. However, they acknowledge that overlap reduces the funding available for broadcasts that may have greater impact. GAO made 2 major recommendations for BBG to systematically consider in its annual language service reviews. First, the cost and impact of overlap among BBG entities' language services, and second, the activities of other international broadcasters. BBG agreed with GAO's recommendations and reported taking initial steps to implement them. Indonesia's media is showing signs of being less free than some would like. With the rise of democracy in the country since 1999, print and electronic media outlets have mushroomed. However, as in Australia, ownership is becoming concentrated in fewer hands, often with prominent political connections. That's the concern of John Riady, a media owner himself and editor of the Jakarta Globe newspaper. The Globe is owned by the Lippo Group, a family conglomerate of which John Riady is a director. He was in Australia recently and told Radio Australia's Karan Snowden that despite the challenges ahead, Indonesia's media won't backslide.
I'm not so concerned. They will not succeed in doing that. You know, first of all, we should remember that Indonesia has one of the freest presses in the world. And it is also a very competitive field. The issue, or at least a challenge with regard to freedom of speech, is not so much government trying to intervene and control, which they absolutely cannot, but it is the consolidation of the media industry, which we've seen. And on a side note to that, the cross-ownership between people who have media interests and those with political interests as well. So that's the bigger challenge.
Next year's election, any concerns about it and the change of government, you know, from your point of view?
2014 will be an important election for us. From the business community, I think we expect another free and fair elections. And there really is no major concern. If we recall in 1998 when Suharto stepped aside, there were 2 big concerns about the democratic transition. One is that it would be co-opted by radical Islam. And number 2, it would be co-opted by the military. These are also the 2 concerns that countries like Egypt is today facing. But 14, 15 years down the road today, both of those concerns, I think we've allayed. So I think Indonesia is on firm footing on the democratic front, and we'll continue to do that.
The proposed acquisition of Virgin Media by Liberty Global serves to underline the internationalization of the pay TV market. According to Florence LeBourne-Bachschmidt, head of the TV and digital content practice at iDate, pay TV is nearing saturation in the world's more developed TV markets. The emergence of new OTT video services on televisions and other connected devices increases the threat of cord cutting. For a great many pay TV providers in the West, emerging markets therefore represent vital sources of future growth. According to iDate, the number of TV households worldwide will reach over 1.5 billion in 2017. That's up 9% in 5 years. Cable will remain the chief access channel at 554 million households in 2017, but will gradually lose ground to satellite and IPTV, which will account for 31% and 8.6% of TV households, respectively, at the end of 2017. For these and other media news stories, visit the Kim Andrew Elliott blog. You'll find a link to it on our website. Just go to www.pcjmedia.com and scroll to the bottom of our homepage, and you'll find it there. That's the news and media for this week. I'm Paulette McQuarrie.
And you're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. Heard on the World Radio Network, Sirius XM in North America, and Sky Digital in the UK. We're also broadcast on a number of partner stations worldwide, so hello to all of you as well. Last year, we reported on the program the big news about Radio Netherlands. After more than 60 years on shortwave, they decided to leave it. Well, it's not really that they decided to leave, it's because they suffered a huge budget cut, which slashed the organization dramatically. They went from a 40 million euro budget a year to around 14 million a year. Radio Netherlands, of course, had two shortwave relays, one on the island of Bonaire in the Caribbean, that is now closed. The other relay station they had was on the island of Madagascar off the coast of Africa. That station was closed by Radio Netherlands, but remains on the air. What do I mean by that? Well, the staff at the station has decided to turn the relay into a private company. There's a number of broadcasters that use the relay to reach Africa, including parts of Asia. Recently, our good friend Jeff White from Radio Miami International spoke to Flore Ravel Jonah. She is the manager of the station and was there for a number of years when it was Radio Netherlands. She's now the new manager of the station, and she tells them next what the future is.
Yeah, I've been working for Radio Netherlands since 1998.
Are you an engineer?
No, I have more administrative and management background.
Are you originally from Madagascar?
Yes, okay. From Madagascar, okay. And I've done all of my study in Madagascar.
Now, the various relay transmissions that are currently taking place from the Madagascar station, will they continue then just pretty much as before when it was Radio Netherlands?
Yes, actually, that was a good thing, because since some time, a few years ago already, RNW has decreased its transmission from Madagascar, and so we already get a kind of customer's basis, which we contact personally, and which has already shown their interest to continue their broadcast via Madagascar, which at least could get a good start for the new company. Indeed, for the time being, we are not really seeking for profits, but more for employment and also to continue on shortwave, because we are still convinced that shortwave is still important for Africa.
Where can you cover from the station with your equipment and antennas? Basically, which target areas can you reach?
Yeah, we have as first hope, we have Africa, but we can reach also part of Asia and India as well as second hope. So, and with our antenna, we've done this already for some of our customers. But also not to forget that we have some antennas which is available for Madagascar, for local tropical band as well.
Who are some of the stations that are broadcasting now via Madagascar?
We have NHK, we have the Adventist World Radio, So we have programs from Vatican Radio, from IBB, and some other from Free Press Unlimited, this Dutch and funded organization as well. So quite a variety of customers.
All right, so now tell me a little bit about, for people who aren't perhaps aware, Madagascar is located off the southeastern coast of Africa. You were telling me it used to be actually a French colony, huh?
Yeah, indeed, sometimes people do not really know that this is this island that you can see in the southern part of Africa. And sometimes people must know Mauritius and then, this island close to Mauritius and Reunion, but it's a nice island and it's a nice place to go, so it's a big island. And very interesting culture as well.
So M Globe then is a commercial initiative.
Yes, it's a commercial initiative, and it was really helped by our headquarters, Radio Netherlands in Hilversum, because there are a lot of people from our headquarters who are now assisting us in setting up this new company. Clients' contacts, which is really important, because indeed before it was always done by our headquarters in Hilversum, and only starting last year when we know all of this huge budget cut, we started the headquarters started to help us, assist us in making this company more visible, that it's a Malagasy company, and we really appreciate and people, expertise, time, and finance also, not to forget, is setting up this company.
So now it's really an African station run by Africa?
Yeah, it's Malagasy station run by Malagasy people, and not to forget, these were always the case, these technical people we have now, right now, were the same which were working for Radio Netherlands before, but indeed we were doing the technical side of the transmissions, but we have the experiences to run it.
As you know, there have been some decreases in shortwave transmissions in other parts of the world, but Africa remains an area where shortwave is very popular, no?
Yeah, I think despite internet or FM station, Africa is still a point where shortwave is very important, because there are still a lot of people in the countryside which could be accessed only by this means of communication, with shortwave. And even if we just speak about Madagascar, it's amazing how people are listening to this transmission we are doing for some broadcasters. And these are also a way to reach people which have less information, depending on, government in Africa. Sometimes, I'm not doing politicals, but sometimes it happens that people could not access to information and internet. In that case, this could be really easily, it's not accessible to everybody in Africa, and it could be expensive means of communications as well. So, yeah, indeed, shortwave is expensive for the broadcaster, but for the people who are listening to it, it's the more cheapest way to get information at any places where they are.
And if you go into stores in Madagascar, and particularly, I suppose, that sell electronic equipment, is it easy to find a shortwave receiver?
Yeah, easy and cheap. Uh-huh. So it's easy, because even the national radio in Madagascar, they are still doing transmission on midwave, but also on shortwave as well. We have a lot of countryside where there is not real other means of information than shortwave. And during the last few years, we get a kind of explosion of FM stations, but these are more for the city, not for people in the countryside. Yeah.
Will M Globe actually produce any of its own programs broadcast by the station?
No, it's not in our development way and vision of Sindhu Station, our vision is more on developing local businesses as well, providing engineering, because we have acquired this experience in technology, which is really actually difficult to find in the islands. So we are more focusing on this part of the business than doing our own, producing our own programs of this kind. And we've get a lot of offer on this already, because you know telecommunications is a booming business in Madagascar, and also we hope we could oriented our business on this part. With on the other side, shortwave also, which is a good start for our business as well.
So you see a bright future then for Envlo?
Yeah, I've seen it, and that's why I'm standing here over it.
Now imagine this, you lived in a part of the world where there was very limited internet access, or non-existent, and you wanted to, let's say, read a newspaper, but you couldn't get newspapers. You couldn't even access them on your mobile phone because the network is just too slow or it is being blocked. So how can you receive text? Well, the Voice of America, and more particular, Kim Andrew Elliott at the Voice of America, have launched a new program called VOA Radiogram. Now, I know that some of you right now are thinking, a radiogram, that sounds like something from the Marconi era. Well, actually, that is the age of that. That should show you the age of the technology. It does go back a long way. Radio amateurs today use it for radio teletype and other things. You can send pictures, you can send text, and it's absolutely fantastic, because one of the amazing things about it, from the tests that they've been doing, is that even with jamming, it still goes through. Well, to find out a little bit more about it, and I should tell you right now that we will have a little radiogram after we take a listen to the piece. We're now joined by Kim Andrew Elliott in Washington, D.C. Kim?
Well, more or less, that's what it was. RCA sent telegrams via radio, and they called them radiograms. And so that was a way of sending messages decades ago. And then the amateur radio community picked it up, and they have their own forms of radiogram. And I thought that was a nice word, so I'm just using it as a name for a new program on the Voice of America.
Now, obviously, this is not a new technology. Now, since it's not a new technology, how good a technology is it? Is it because it's so simple that it is so effective?
Well, it's a good actually, it's several versions of a technology. Sending text via radio has been done for decades. The earliest form was radio teletype, and the radio amateurs still use it. They call it RTTY or RTTY. But there have been newer, fancier text modes developed over the years. The radio amateurs really love a mode called PSK31, phase shift keying 31. And then there are other fancier modes like MFSK and MT63, and too many to mention. And So we're going to experiment with those, but this will be the first time that they've been put on top of an amplitude-modulated analog shortwave broadcast transmitter.
And what is the reason for VOA doing this? Because I don't think this has been tested by any other broadcaster yet.
Yes, it is something new. A problem that VOA and other international broadcasters have been having in the past several years is that their websites are blocked in some countries. And also there are, in addition to dictators, there are natural disasters and man-made disasters that can shut down internet infrastructure. So when that happens, text can be sent over shortwave, so can pictures, images, and it becomes a sort of a substitute for the internet.
I was just about to say that. It sounds like a very primitive version of the internet, but information is only coming one way. You can't send information back.
Not really. Although people in target countries probably can get it on their mobile phones and get information back. The bigger problem is getting information into countries that have determined to block that information or where disasters have shut down the infrastructure. So, yes, it doesn't have the interactivity of the Internet, that's for sure.
Now, broadcasters like the Voice of America, BBC World Service, and others, for decades now, I mean, this is not new. This goes back to, you know, more than 60 years, a problem with jamming. I mean, it even continues today. Using a radiogram, isn't jamming just going to block it out?
Well, the one thing about text via shortwave is that that information successfully gets through even when voice is difficult to comprehend. That could be under just normal degradations of shortwave, but it also applies when the noise is intentionally added to the frequency. So we've found that the text modes might be able to slice through jamming in some instances.
Now, you have been running some tests via the mighty KBC and WRMI in the United States, Radio Miami International, that this program is relayed on. What have been the results so far?
Well, very encouraging. Those two stations have kindly granted me, you know, about a minute a week. And so I send short messages on WRMI, I sent IDs. And there have been situations where the signals have been just terrible, but I've gotten 100% or maybe 95% or better copy of the text. So very encouraging. In the case of WRMI, it gets jammed by Cuba because it has a few hours of some anti-Castro purchased programming, and manages to overcome the jamming pretty well.
So the purpose behind the test, that is it to like you said, to find an alternative means to get information where that you can't use the internet or you can't use shortwave. So, I mean, would the future, let's say, be, I don't know, down the road, let's say if you have a broadcast that's being jammed, to just send that out in text?
Yes. Now, we don't expect that this will make shortwave popular again, and the audience probably won't be huge, but just get a few key users in the target country, and then they can receive the information and pass it on through what is now the intranet, the internal internet of the target country.
Now, you were mentioning mobile phones. Is it possible you mentioned to me earlier mobile phones. Is it possible to also use a phone app?
Yes, it is possible to do that. In fact, already there are some mobile applications for amateur radio modes. There's one for the Android platform that decodes MT63, and there's one for the Apple platforms that decodes the popular PSK31 mode. In fact, it encodes and decodes both because they're used in the amateur radio community. One of the purposes of the VOA radiogram program is in addition to finding out which mode works best on shortwave broadcast, is to encourage people to develop applications for both PCs and mobile devices.
You know, one of the things, Kim, that I'm thinking about right now, I mean, in certain countries, if we take, let's say, North Korea, that's been in the news lately, mobile phones are really taking off in North Korea. This can be a way, for example, if somebody can get the information into their phone, and like you just said, and then text it to other people, that's incredible.
Well, remember, you have to have a shortwave radio. You got to start with that, and then you have to patch the audio from the shortwave radio into the PC or the mobile phone, and then you have to have the right software. So there are several pieces that have to come together. Might be difficult to get all those pieces together in North Korea.
Now, if you want more information about the VOA Radiogram program, go to voaradiogram.net. That's voaradiogram.net. Now, we're going to run a little radiogram right now from Kim. So let's see how many of you can decode it. And if you can, you can write us, and maybe we'll send you something special. Anyway, here's Kim Andrew Elliott again.
Hello, Keith and PCJ listeners. Coming next is the MFSK32 mode, centered on 1500 hertz. If you can't decode it now from your radio, decode it from your recording. This will be 27 seconds.
And there we have it, a special VOA radiogram from Kim Andrew Elliott right here on Media Network Plus. And if you know what that radiogram was, well, decode it and let us know. Our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. Now time to turn to propagation. Here's our own Dan Hensley with what we can expect over the next 7 days.
And here's propagation for the week of March 16th to March 22nd, 2013. A 10.7 centimeter flux dropping all week long on March 16th and 17th, starting out at 115. March 18th, 110. March 19th, 105. March 20th and 21st, 100. March 22nd, 95. The A index is stable at 5 from March 16th to March 20th, going up to 8 on March 21st, dropping on March 22nd to 5. The KP index is stable from March 16th to March 20th at 2, going up to 3 on March 21st, dropping back down to 2 on March 22nd. NOAA forecasters have estimated a 65% chance of polar geomagnetic storms on March 15th when a CME was expected to deliver a glancing blow to Earth's magnetic field. The CME was launched by a filament of solar magnetism that erupted on March 12th for more than 2 hours and was captured by extreme ultraviolet telescopes on board NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory. High-latitude sky watchers should have observed auroras when the cloud arrived. Aurora-affected areas should have seen better VHF and UHF conditions. The eastern half of the sun currently has sunspots 1690, 91, and 89 in different locales, with 90 and 91 crackling with long-duration C-class flares. To the west, on the sun's other half, we see sunspots 1694, 95, 82, and 96. All of these spots on the sun's western half are grouped reasonably close together. No large coronal holes have been observed this week. Back to you, Keith.
All right. Thank you very much, Dan Hensley. We're now out of time. Once again, if you wish to contact us, our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com, mnp@pcjmedia.com, and let us know what that radiogram was that we broadcast just a few moments ago. So on behalf of the whole team, this is Keith Powell wishing you well. 73s to you all, and 88s to the ladies.